The other day, we drove around and just tried to look at the lights, the few lights that are up in Nevada. And, you know, some houses are decorated that are pretty modest, just a few strands, and those look great. Others go all out, you know, and they have music set to it and everything. We decorate our houses and our trees and our homes, maybe your offices, the businesses around town, they're all lit up. And that's just something that we always associate with this time of year. And I think there's something about light that just draws us to it, right? In the same way, there's something about darkness that we all feel hesitant towards. I'm not sure anyone would just tell you, yeah, I would rather just be in the dark all the time instead of in the light. Maybe if you're trying to go to sleep or watching a movie, you prefer some darkness. But other than that, there's something about darkness that just is a little bit uncomfortable. I remember a time I went to Jamaica once on a missions trip. Whenever I was in eighth grade, we went to an orphanage to help build a kitchen. It was a really cool place. They taught the kids that were there a trade in hopes that whenever they left, they would be able to, you know, find a job and make it after they were too old to be at this orphanage anymore. And one of the things they did was a catering service. They raised livestock on the grounds there, and so that was one of the trades. But they also had a catering business, and our job as we were there, we were helping to put up the structures for what would be a new kitchen for them so that they could expand this business. And in the middle of the trip, while we were there, a person broke into one of the rooms we were staying in, and a few of our ladies that were on this trip actually walked in the room as this was happening, and everything was fine. They weren't injured or anything. The guy jumped out the window and ran away. But it was a little bit uneasy feeling as we were there, and so the people who were running the place just told us, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. Just kind of be cautious. Don't go anywhere by yourself. You know, stay with other people. Everything should be fine. On the last night of the trip, though, we were finished with our work. We were in there enjoying a meal together, just visiting with one another, visiting with some of the people that we'd gotten to know, some of the older boys that were there at this orphanage and some of the ladies that ran this place. And I realized that I had forgotten in the room a disposable camera. I'm not that old, but this was long ago enough that we all didn't have cameras in our pockets. And so I was worried. I was like, man, I need some pictures, which is funny because I'm terrible at taking pictures now. Every time we come back from a youth trip, parents are not happy because I never get pictures of their kids. But I wanted pictures this night. And on this particular trip, I wasn't there with my parents. I had just gone with a group from my church. And so I didn't want to burden other adults because they were visiting and enjoying themselves. And so, not a very smart decision. I just decided I'll just go get the camera myself. Not a big deal, right? And so I left, and where we were staying was probably 500 yards from where we were eating. So not, you know, real far, but a good little walk. But I remember this feeling as I left the dining room that night. Where we're at is up in the mountains, very impoverished area, and so there's not a town around to light it up. There's not street lights or anything. It didn't take long to get away from the dining room, and man, it was dark. And I just remember thinking, this is not a smart decision. Everything was fine. It went okay. You know, nothing happened. I got to the room and got my camera. But I also remember this feeling of, man, I need to get back to where the group is. I need to get back to where there's some light. Because as I walked back, it was just uncomfortable and uneasy. And I think there's something about darkness that makes us feel like that. We're going to be in the book of John a little bit tonight, and all throughout that book, John uses this illustration of who Jesus is, of light as coming into the world of darkness. In verse 4 of the first chapter of John, it says this: "In him was life, and that life was light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it." So we're just going to break those two verses down a little bit. The first verse, verse 4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." There's a few things happening within that verse. I think when we initially hear that, when we think of Jesus coming, maybe the first thing we think of is, well, that life that he's talking about would be, you know, eternal life, life after death. That's why Jesus came. And that's definitely part of what's going on here, but really it's more than that. What he's talking about here is actually quality of life more than the quantity of life. Not life after death, but that Jesus came so that our life would be the best that it could be. In fact, later on in the book, Jesus is speaking and he says in chapter 10, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. That was the purpose of him coming. And so whenever John writes this in verse 4, what he's talking about is, I've come that they might actually have real life to the full. The way one commentator put it that I really like, he said, a lot of people exist, but they don't really live. A lot of people walk around and they're taking air into their lungs and their heart is beating, but they're merely just existing, because apart from Jesus, there's not real life. And they think what they have is great, but they're just missing out on so much. A dad took his little girl to the store one time, and before they walked in the doors, he told her, I'm going to give you a few dollars that you can pick out anything in the store that you want, and you can buy it. And so she was really excited. They walked around, and they got the stuff off the checklist that they needed to get. And then they walked around for a few minutes, and she finally settled on this cheap-looking toy necklace that looked like pearls. And she was really excited to get it. You know, her dad was happy to buy it for her. And so they went and checked out, and he was surprised at how much she loved this necklace. For the next few weeks, she never took it off. She wanted to sleep in it. She wanted to bathe in it. She just always wanted to have this necklace on. And so he got this idea. One evening, he was tucking her into bed. He said, honey, would you let me have that necklace? And she got this really sad look on her face. And he goes, Daddy, I love this necklace. And she's like, no, I don't want to give it to you. So he's like, okay, that's fine. A few nights later, he tried the same thing. As he went up and tucked her in, he said, baby, would you give me that necklace? She said, Daddy, I love this necklace. I want to keep it. He said, okay, that's fine. And this pattern continued for a while. For the next few weeks, every 3 or 4 days, he would try this, and she never wanted to give it up. And he didn't want to pressure her or anything. It was not a big deal. It was just kind of a little test he had. And then one evening, he walked into the room, went through this routine again. He said, honey, would you give me that necklace? She said, Dad, I love this necklace, but I love you more. So yes, if you want the necklace, you can have it. And so he took it off of her, and he was really excited because he knew something that she didn't. And he pulled out from his pocket a box that had a real pearl necklace in it. And he gave it to her and explained to her that what she had was not the real thing, but that this was real pearls. And he was so excited to give it to her. And he thought that she would just love this necklace even more than she loved the other one. And there are people who are like that little girl, and they're clutching onto something that they're satisfied with, they're happy with. It's not like they know that something is missing, but those people are existing. And they don't realize that the Father has something so much better for them if they would just choose to follow him. That's what John is talking about here whenever he says that the light stepped into our world to give us life. Verse 5, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, that light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Just like verse 4, there's a few things at play here. Some other translations say the darkness did not understand it or comprehend it. And that's part of what is being portrayed here whenever John is speaking. I mean, people didn't understand who Jesus was when he came into the world. They didn't really get what his mission was. A lot of people thought he was going to do some things that he didn't end up doing, and they were really confused. So that's part of what John is talking about here. But really, his main point here is this, that the darkness can't stop the light. In fact, what this literally means is that the darkness can't hold it down. And I love that. See, sometimes it feels like that our world is pretty dark. It's really hard to turn on the news or just to go throughout our daily lives and not think, man, things are going downhill. Darkness seems to be winning. But the promise of this verse and the reason that we celebrate Christmas is that light came into the darkness and won. See, this night of Jesus' birth, we talk about it as a silent night and everything like that, but really this is a tactical move in a war between good and evil. This is God making the first move and saying, this war is about to end because 30 years from now, my son is going to go to the cross and put an end to evil for good. And I know from that first story I told you, it might seem like I'm kind of naive, but I'm hopefully not as naive as it might seem. I know darkness is still in the world. I'm not saying that bad things aren't going to happen because that's a part of life, because we live in a broken world. We sin and we caused this world to not be what it's supposed to be. And so yes, there is still darkness here, but the message that is so full of hope is that the darkness doesn't have to win. In fact, the darkness can't win. It can't hold the light down. And so just like darkness cannot overcome the light, anxiety cannot overcome peace. Sadness cannot overcome joy. Loneliness cannot overcome the fact that you are an adopted child of God. Doubt cannot overcome faith. Hate cannot overcome love. Whatever you are going through cannot overcome what Jesus did. And because he went to the cross, sin cannot overcome the cross. And when it looked like that light that stepped out of heaven into our world was going to be put out, and that darkness was going to win, something else happened. In Matthew 27, it talks about how Jesus, before he gave up his spirit and passed away, that it was dark for 3 hours until his death, from noon to three. See, that light was literally fading from the world. That light that had stepped out of heaven was going away, and it seemed like the darkness was going to win. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. And just like darkness cannot overcome light and sin cannot overcome the cross, death cannot overcome life. Because when Jesus rose from the grave, he conquered death once and for all. And going back to verse 4, here is where the quantity of our life comes in. Those who choose to follow the light and step out of the darkness, they can have the eternal life that he offers because he has conquered death. That is the message of Christmas. That's why we celebrate that for some reason, God chose to step out of heaven into the world that we messed up and be a light that shines in the darkness that cannot be held down. There's a difference between all of us, though, in that story that I told you in the beginning. See, after I went and got my camera, I was able to make it back to the dining room perfectly fine. Nothing happened. But the truth is that all of us have stepped away from the light. Our lives, we've sinned and we have messed up. We've walked away from God with the choices we've made. And the difference between our situation and that story that I told you is that we can't find our way back. There's nothing we can do that can pay the price for what we've done. We can't make it back to the light ourselves. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why he had to be born in the way he was and live a sinless life to go to the cross so that we could go back to the light and have peace with the Father again. John 12:46, he continues this illustration of light. And Jesus is talking, and he says this, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. See, it's one thing to hear that light has defeated dark, but it's a completely different thing to choose to follow that. But that's what Jesus says, that anyone who chooses to follow him doesn't have to remain in the darkness. They don't have to have the hopelessness and the anxiety and the sadness that comes sometimes with this broken world. They can have peace and hope and love because the light has defeated the darkness. I'm going to pray. We're going to have one more song as we do our candle lighting. And I just pray that and ask that during this time you would just be focused on that, remembering what Jesus did, remembering the sacrifice it took for him to leave heaven and come to this messed up world. God, thank you for your son. Thank you for his willingness to come and fix what we've messed up. God, thank you for him and the hope that he gives and the life that he gives. God, I pray that as we continue on celebrating this time with our families and our friends, that we would remember that we would be focused on the reason that we celebrate, and that is you. God, thank you for Jesus, and we pray all these things in his name. Amen.